Today's reading is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. And it says, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these work of the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. One body, many parts. Amen."
I would like us to discuss on the subject from the New King James 1, how it began, that 1 Corinthians passage. So let's discuss today on this subject concerning spiritual gifts. And we've just read from 1 Corinthians 12, and that will also lead us to some other places like Romans 12 and Ephesians chapter 4 and then 1 Peter chapter 4. So I will just pick up one or two places. Let me just say that the subject of spiritual gifts is one that I don't think we'll be able to cover in one go. So what I will do is a sort of an introduction and speak about the key passage that we have today, and then mention the spiritual gifts that are listed here. And perhaps as time goes on, we'll find time to dwell more on the subject of spiritual gifts. When you look at the 1 Corinthians passage, it begins by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Concerning spiritual gifts. The word gifts in that passage, if you have it in your Bible, was not there in the original translation, in the original manuscript. It was added by the translators, right? What Paul was saying was, "Now concerning spirituals, I do not want you to be ignorant." Or something like, "Now concerning matters relating to the Spirit, I do not want you to be ignorant." Why were they ignorant? Because of their background. They have been Gentiles, and they've converted from their hidden faith, and they only knew things that are not of the Spirit. So they were coming with an ignorant mind. And already there were some things happening about spiritual things in the Corinthian church at that time that he had to write to them about. So if you go on in that passage, so he says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God," not by any other spirit, "no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And one thing I would like to establish, and I will say that over and over in this series, is that everything the Holy Spirit does is to point us to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not point us to our strengths, physical strengths, or our importance, how important I am. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. And that's why I say wherever I go all over the world that any manifestation that glorifies self or glorifies the leader of this group or glorifies whoever is not of God. Any manifestation of the Spirit that is authentic, that is real, should manifest and glorify Jesus Christ, should point us to Jesus. So these guys were the ones that were exposed to idols, exposed to, you know, hidden practices. And now he comes along to talk to them about these spiritual things. It makes sense. The addition of the gifts makes sense for what he goes on to say in the passage. So it makes sense that they've added gifts. And now he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So it's a reminder to us also today. Perhaps, just maybe, we are ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. But we should not be. It might be different in our day and age. I was just pondering over this subject of being ignorant yesterday, and I was thinking, how could we be people that are ignorant? Perhaps the very woke culture, perhaps we sit in a place that is postmodern, perhaps we are even post-Christian. We might not be ignorant like these first century Christians, but I think there are so many ignorant people in our generation today. Ignorant in the real sense of exposure and belief in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Of course, there are diversity of opinions. You know, people believe what they believe about around the issue of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But like the apostle, I say to us, that we shouldn't be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. We shouldn't be ignorant of the things around spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? We may ask. They are just, like I said here, they are just gifts. They are not like our entitlements. They are not like, yes, what we lay claim on. They are just gifts. And they are also spiritual. They are not physical. I believe strongly there is a difference between spiritual gifts and talents and skills. Yes, we've got different talents. We've got different skills. But I know that skills and talents are acquired abilities. We can learn them, we can hone them, but spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities which no one can learn. No matter how intelligent and smart you are, you cannot learn spiritual gifts. All right? They are supernatural. They are beyond human comprehension. And that's why sometimes you might see someone who is naturally shy like myself. Yes, I used to be very, very shy. But when the Spirit of God came upon me in a powerful way, I was a changed person. I became a changed person. From that time till now, I have not looked back. I became very bold. I can, yeah, you know what I mean? Yes, if you do. But what I'm saying is that spiritual gifts are supernatural. That sometimes you will think, how is it that he is able to do this when he or she is naturally timid, naturally shy? You know, but yes, that's why it is spiritual gifts. It is supernatural. It's something that only him alone can give us. It is him and him alone. And he gives those gifts to whoever he wishes. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, so he gives those to whoever that he wants. And why do we receive those gifts? We receive those gifts. We will mention those gifts, but let's do this first. We are given those gifts so that we can serve others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And also Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 7 says, listen to this, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace. What has been given? Let me hear you. Grace. Grace, yes. Grace has been given to each one of us, grace as Christ apportioned it. So Christ is the one that determines the level of grace, the measure of grace that you will have. It's not your making, right? And he says, this is why he says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. What they call fivefold gifts, is it not? Yeah, he gave these fivefold gifts. And what are these fivefold gifts given? Why were they given? The next verse is why they were given. Verse 12. To equip his people for the works of service. To equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So, why the fivefold gifts were given is that they will equip us, and we are the ones that walk the works of service. And mind you, those who are given those fivefold gifts are not in another class, they are also within us. So they are given those gifts to equip others so that both they themselves and those they equip will walk the works of service. And what is a work of service? To serve Christ in the world. To serve Christ outside. Not in the church. Not in the church. To serve Christ outside. And also, spiritual gifts are given so that we can help others to grow and mature, like I just mentioned now. They are not given for us to sort of feel very important. Spiritual gifts are not given that we'll feel more. Actually, that was what the problem was in the Corinthian church. They came to the point that some people received some spiritual gifts amongst them, and they began to feel very special. They began to feel, well, I'm bigger than you because I'm a leader. You are down there. I'm up there. And there were so much division, the apostle decided to write to them. So that was the genesis of 1 Corinthians 12. They were like someone I know years back. He's a professor in one of the big universities somewhere not in this country. He had, about two or three PhDs, and he's written so many researches and books. So when this guy meets you for the first time, what he does is that he comes in a place of elevated self-elevation. And let's say he meets Chilemeze for the first time, and then he'll say, I am Professor Henry, and you are Mr. Did you get the joke now? Yeah. I am Professor Henry, and you are Mr. And he insists that you have no title, that he's got the professorship, he's got the, you know, PhDs, and you are. And one day, he met someone who has more degrees and more things that he heard. And he went off as usual. And this guy was bold enough. People were not, but that day was not his luck. So this guy says, oh, I am professor. Yes, I am. I've been this. I've been, since you want to boast a bit, let's boast now. You know, some people are like that, unfortunately, in the church today. And that is not how it should be. Any spiritual gift that we have, we are given to serve others. And also, we have different gifts according to the level of grace. That's why I mentioned that. A level of grace given to us by God. Let's go back to the Romans passage. Romans chapter 12, if you have it in your Bible. Read from verse 8. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace. Romans 12, verse 6. According to the grace given to each of us. And he goes on to mention the gifts. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And also Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 7, he says, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So we have different gifts according to our different graces. There was a time in my life I was serving the Lord in a very, very hinterland, very remote area. And I remember one day I had no car, I had no bike, I had no scooter, I had no means of transport except Legedis Benz. That's what they call this one, Legedis Benz. Except Legedis Benz. So I was to go on a meeting, and you have to walk for about 3-4 miles to get to the nearest bus stop. And then you, of course, pray that the bus will arrive for you, because sometimes the bus might turn up 1 hour late. So on this occasion, I went there to catch the bus. And while I was there, I got a call to say, we're sorry, the meeting is over. And I didn't know what to do. And I began to weep. I began to cry. I said, God, what have I gotten myself into? Why am I in this sort of situation? And I heard the Lord say to me, I have given you grace according to the gifts I have given you. There are some other people in places that they don't have to walk 1 hour before they get to the nearest bus stops. That's their own grace. Unfortunately, Henry, that's their grace. Your grace is that you are to walk for this hour. And I had the strength to do it, all right? And I did it joyfully. And I didn't back out. I served the Lord joyfully. You know, yeah, we all have different levels of grace. And I tell you honestly, there are some times when people go through what, let's say, Mr. A or Mrs. B go through, they might not survive. This is God. He knows why he's put him or her in that family with that man or woman, because he is the only one, she is the only one that can cope with him or her. They've got the grace for that marriage. You know, each time I talk to my children, I you know, when we do our Bible study or even when we don't, I tell them, look, young man, look, young lady, every person is different. Don't ever wish you are like him or her because you don't know what they are going through. And I remember telling my daughter the other time that we are looking at some people on the on these social media things. They were looking at them. And I told them, I said, young lady, don't be deceived by these things. You know, they are now advertising this cream or this soap. They don't use it. They don't use it. I'm telling you, my your dads, they don't use those cream. They don't use, they've just used some other thing. And they are now advertising this soap or making it look special and you are craving for it. They don't use it. And sometimes they don't even do what they say on social media. They do some other things behind and then they come on social media and paint it so beautiful and you're carried away as a young person. So don't wish you are like them. You have your own grace. You have your own gift. God knows why he has created you as an African. I always say this to them. God knows why he has created you as an African. Don't ever wish you are maybe born as a prime minister's child. Don't ever, because you've got something better than every other person. They've got what is best for them, and you've got what is best for you. Each one of us have been given grace according to the level of faith. We have different measures of faith and different kinds of gifts. Like I've mentioned from 1 Corinthians 12 and also from Romans, we've got different kinds of gifts. I will list them for you to look at. From 1 Corinthians 12, you will see various gifts that have been mentioned there. And I would like you to, as you go home today, begin to think, what are the things or gifts that I've seen in my life? And what are the ones that I want and I wish that the Holy Spirit would give me? Administration, mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. Discernment, gift of discernment. I mentioned, I think it was two Sundays ago, how I had the discernment of someone who came along doing things that were not of the Spirit. Do you remember that story? I had discernment that this is not of God, and I shut her down. And I spoke against that spirit, not against the person anyway, against the spirit. Some people have discernment. It might be that someone will walk in here, you know, claiming to be what he or she is not. Someone sitting here, not even among the leaders, might suddenly go with that uneasiness and will feel that, no, this person, I don't know why, but because you have no proof, all right, you keep your mouth shut. But that might be the discernment. And some people have got gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. We'll go back there because it didn't say gifts of healing. It says gifts. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Gifts of healing, which means there are giftings for healing different sorts of sicknesses or ailments or diseases. Interpretation of languages. Of course, there are people who have been given the gift to interpret tongues and languages. And there are people who are also given gifts of speaking in other languages. And the list go on. I can bring the list for you. So I want us to just think about those gifts. Perhaps the Lord has given us one or two of those. And then prophecy also in 1 Corinthians 12. Gift of prophecy and wisdom. Let me just run through them quickly, and we will just determine. And some people are called as apostles. Some have gifts of faith. Some have gifts of helps, like showing mercy to others. Some have word of knowledge, and some the gift of working miracles, and of course, teaching. And then in Romans chapter 12, we have encouragement, and those who have the gift of giving, and then who are called in leadership, those who have gifts of mercy, prophecy, service, and teaching, and the list goes on. But I want you to notice that the gifts in italics are those who are repeated in, in each of them. So you find, for example, teaching in 1 Peter, you find teaching in 1 Corinthians 12, you find teaching in Ephesians 4, you also find teaching in Romans 12. Those in italics are those that you can see that the apostle mentioned in all those places. So I would like you, as you go home today, think about these gifts. I believe strongly, like I said, each child of God has been given one or more gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is left for us probably to find them out, or to discover them, or to become a little more bold in using them. Nobody is useless in the Church of Christ. What did I say? Do you believe it? I believe it. No person, even a 13-year-old, even an 80-year-old, not that I'm 80, even a 90-year-old, no person is you. There is something we can do. There is something that the Lord has given us that we can do. Every child of God is being given one or more spiritual gifts. And let me say again, no person has got all the gifts of the Spirit in them. They have been given what the Lord knows that they are able to use to serve Him. Right. Now, I will close with these 10 points that I have noticed over the years that are common questions that are being asked around the subject of spiritual gifts. And I like to say that some of them, I am making bold to say them. I don't have any fear of saying them the way I understand it from the Bible. Not the way I see it, but the way I understand it from the Bible. But my prayer is that as we go on along, we all will discover our gifts. Think about people who set up these chairs. If they were not here, where will you find place to sit down? Think about people who take care of the IT. If they are not there, what will it be? Those are their spiritual gifts. Think about people who take care of the kitchen. These are administration gifts. Think about the leaders. If they are not here, or trustees, treasurers, yes. If the treasurer is not here to look after the finances, who will do them? Do you know what I found while growing up in the fellowship in those days? You cannot value someone enough until they are absent. Sometimes they are the ones that usually, you know, sweeps everywhere. They don't look at faces. They don't look at faces. They take it as if it's their own job. And each time we close from service, everyone assumes that he or she is going to do it, right? It's become their own thing. Over the years, it's become their own thing. That's the strength they have. That's the grace they have. That's the gift they have. Think about someone that comes always with a smile, right? There are some people, when people walk in, even strangers walk in, they will feel like, oh, this person has made me very welcome. Very welcome with their smiles and the way they approach people. Think about those people, right? You know, think about people who do the lawn. Think about Jean sometimes. If it's like become her thing to do. You know, think about people who make sure that our website is up and running. The list is on and on. There are things you can do. I value sometimes when people ring me up and ask me, Henry, I just want to know how you're doing. You don't know what impression that has made. That's sort of gifts. You know, think about people who remind us, have you prayed for Mr. A? Have you prayed for this person? You know, make sure that we remember every person. Everyone has got one thing or the other they do to make this fellowship move along. That you are not one of the leaders does not make you least of them all. No. We are all equal in the eyes of the Lord, no matter gifts we've received. If we think we are more important, that's what the Bible is saying, that we shouldn't. The gifts have been given to serve others. Not even to serve us, to serve others. Now, I'll run through this and then we'll close. What I have discovered, some people ask, are spiritual gifts the same as talents? No, like I have explained, talents are acquired natural abilities, which you can learn. But spiritual gifts are supernatural. No one can learn them. No one. I was involved in a church many years ago that someone from our church was to marry someone from another church. And the church was some of the newish churches. And then the lady came up to us and told us that she wanted to call off the marriage. Why do you want to call off the marriage? You don't love him? I love him. You don't, what is wrong? He says, they want me on the day of the wedding to speak in tongues. And they said, if you don't speak in tongues, there is no wedding for you. And she says, no, but I believe it is the Spirit that will enable me to speak in tongues and not me saying gibberish. It is the Spirit that will enable me to speak in tongues. And so we took it up with the leaders of the church, you know, telling them that you cannot learn spiritual gifts. You can't. You can't. That is a problem. That's the problem. It is only a spiritual and supernatural ability that God gives you. You cannot learn them. But I know that God gives us anyhow. Number two, some spiritual gifts are better than others. Are they? No. There are no spiritual gifts that are better than others. All right? Yeah, I know what you have in mind. You said desire spiritual gifts and desire the most important ones. Yes. But at the end of the day, all spiritual gifts are given for the common good of serving others, not making us feel important, not making us feel that, our names are more important than others. Spiritual gifts are not better than others. Are spiritual gifts the same as the gift of the Holy Spirit? Remember in Acts 2:38, I would like to read it for us. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Different when the Bible talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. He talks about that enablement that the Holy Spirit brings to us, which is different. In Acts 2:38, he says, then Peter said to them, listen to this, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is the one you receive when you accept Christ and your sins are forgiven, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And remember, I believe from the Bible, every child of God has got the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you cannot come to Christ. It is Christ that introduces us to the world, and at that point, the Holy Spirit comes in us. And so we shouldn't stay waiting to receive the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Let me run it quickly. The next one, I believe, some people assume that when I've got spiritual gifts and I use them faithfully, then they will excuse me from obeying God's general commands. No. No matter who we are supposed to also go in line with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I want us to seek more of the fruits than the gifts, because the fruits are the ones that will show off Christ in us. Remember, Jesus said in the last days, some people will come up and he will say, I don't know you. Who are you? And they will say, don't you remember me? I healed the sick. I preached in South Coast. I preached in Romania. I preached. But he said, no, I don't know you. because you did all those things, but you don't have the fruits of the Spirit. And so it doesn't exclude us from the general command. Spiritual gifts are the same as fruits of the Spirit? No, like I said, we should seek the giver rather than the gifts. Praise God. Can I use my spiritual gifts as a way of avoiding to deal with character issues in my life? No. No matter who I am, I will always answer for myself, no matter what title I hold. And then the other one says that the gifts of the Spirit ceased with the apostolic age. This is another contentious point. So I am carefully saying this, that this is my personal belief, right? This is my personal understanding of the spiritual gifts. I strongly believe that the Holy Spirit and his gifts are still relevant for today. I believe that. Why would God excuse us from those gifts and then allow the challenges to continue? Why? Why would God allow, you know, things that happen, still happening, and then withdraw his power from us? I don't believe that the gifts went away with the apostolic age. Like I said, this is a point people disagree with, but this is my personal opinion about this subject matter. And now, spiritual gifts, do they require titles? What do you think? Do you have to have titles before you have spiritual gifts? You don't have to. You don't have to be a bishop. You don't have to be a reverend. You don't have to be a pastor before you are gifted with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I have seen people who don't even want your titles, but they are powerfully, powerfully gifted. It's not about all the titles you carry. There are some parts of the world that they are very, very about titles. Are they mystical powers? I don't think they are mystical powers. They are not magic. They are spiritual gifts. They are not to be used at our own will. They are only given when there is need. If you are in a place that someone needs healing, that's when the gifts of healing will manifest. You don't just carry them around, looking for where to use them. You only use the gifts when the need arises. That's something about the Holy Spirit. Maybe we'll go on at a later time. So they don't require titles, like I said. And then lastly, like I said, this is my own personal view also. Spiritual gifts are not for men. They are not for men. Neither are they for women. They are not for children. They are not for young or old. They are for everyone. Do you believe that? Yes. Well, yeah, that's because there are a lot of things happening these days. You know, people thinking that, well, it's only men that should be gifted, or some set of people that should be gifted. But like I said, I will end it here, but I would like us to go home today, think about especially those listing I've given, try and find out. And if you want to ask me after now how you might go about things, I'm happy to have a little chat with you, and then we'll pray and find out how we might kind of develop and build up the spiritual gifts that we have. And if you've got any questions, perhaps next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, we can entertain those questions, or even on a Friday, and the Lord will help us as we go on. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We pray that you will help us, Lord, above all, to discover our spiritual gifts. Lord, I believe that you've given us one or more spiritual gifts. Lord, help us to discover them. And for people already, oh Lord, that have been so useful to us in this fellowship, I pray that you will energize them. Lord, I pray you speak in their hearts to know that they are valued enough, that their gifts and their what they bring are valued enough. Lord, any spirit of discouragement in us, trying to discourage us from coming forward with our gifts, Lord, I pray that they will not have their way in our lives. Help us, Lord, to stand on your word and to use our gifts and to serve you and to serve others, that we might decrease, that Jesus will increase in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.